Okay, it's from the New International Version, Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18, verse 14 to 19. The nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Oreb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account."
Good morning. As Dylan mentioned earlier, today we continue our sermon series on Christmas hope in the Old Testament, looking at how the Old Testament points to Jesus and is fulfilled in him. And as we come to look at the hope or the promise of a prophet, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. As we look at your word together this morning, we pray that you would be working in our hearts and minds, encouraging, strengthening, and challenging us as we seek to walk with you. Amen. A few years ago, I had a good friend who was pretty gullible. He would listen to just about anyone and do whatever they told him to do. One day a mate said to him, "Hey Chris, do a push-up." So Chris did a push-up. Then his mate said, "Chris, do a push-up and clap your hands in front of your body." So he did a push-up, clapped his hands back on the floor. Then his mate said, "Chris, do another push-up, but this time clap your hands behind your back." Chris wound up with a broken nose. We might not realise it, but we're listening all the time. We listen to our work colleagues, our bosses. We listen to our lecturers, to our parents, our children, to our family and friends. We listen to the world news, to the latest pop song, to television ads and all kinds of terrible on-hold music. Some voices are good voices. During this last week, I was working at college, spring cleaning accommodation, and the guy I was working with was playing sermons off his phone as we worked. But not all voices are good. My mate Chris chose to listen to a bad, although quite funny, voice. What about the voice of consumerism that tells us we won't be happy or fulfilled unless we own X, Y, or Z? The voice of success that tells us we've failed unless we achieve the best mark, or achieve the highest sales figures, or have this amount of money in our bank account or retirement fund. The voice of pride that tells us we're superior because of our house or car or job or maybe even skin colour. The voice of envy, jealousy and greed that tells us to chase after what others have. Or perhaps you're like me and you listen to that little voice in your head that tells you it won't hurt to bend God's commands a little bit, just a little bit, to get what you want or make life easier. The wrong voices are pretty loud, aren't they? They're convincing and persuasive, trying to choke God out and lead us away into sin. This morning, as we come to look at the promise of a prophet, I want to ask you, what voices are you listening to? This Christmas time, what voices will you listen to? Our passage this morning is part of a long sermon or speech by Moses that he gave to the Israelites as they were about to enter the Promised Land after 40 years of walking around the wilderness. In his speech, Moses reminds them of their journey to this point. He recaps the law that God had passed down to the people through him, and he tells them of the blessings and curses that will come upon them should they choose to either obey or disobey God's law. And our passage this morning has three main points. Firstly, don't listen to the wrong voice. Don't listen to the wrong voice. Before discussing the prophet in chapter 18, Moses speaks twice of the idolatry of the nations who currently occupy the Promised Land. These people worship false gods. They bow down to carved statues, bow down to the sun, moon, and stars. They sacrifice their children to gods. They practice divination, sorcery, witchcraft. They seek mediums and they seek to speak to the dead. And God says these practices are detestable. In chapters 16 and 17, we hear that God hates these practices. They're evil in his sight. And in chapter 18, verse 12, we're told that because of their idolatry, these nations will be removed from the Promised Land. God will drive them out of the Promised Land. Their sin in worshipping false gods is so great, so evil, that they'll be removed from the land so that they don't taint Israel with their practices. In verse 14, we see that these nations listen to the wrong voice. They listen to an evil voice, and they're consumed by it. And God says to the Israelites that they must not listen to this voice. They must not listen to anyone who speaks a voice apart from God, lest they too be seduced by it. So who are the Israelites to listen to? Well, here we learn that God will raise a prophet and will speak through him. God will raise a prophet and will speak through him. In verse 15, we learn that God will raise a prophet like Moses from among the Israelites, and they must listen to this prophet. Again, in verse 18, this is reiterated, and we're told that God will put his words in the prophet's mouth, and the prophet will speak everything that God has commanded him. The first thing to notice here is that it's all God's doing. God will raise a prophet. It's God's words that are placed in the prophet's mouth, and it's God who commands him to speak. God's in charge of the whole process. Unlike the other nations who need sorcery and occult practices to manipulate their gods to speaking, God takes the initiative in speaking to his people. God wants to speak to his people. He chooses the prophet. And we know from Israel's history, they're not always the most popular or obvious pick. I mean, think of Moses, a murderer, or Jonah, who raged against God's compassion, or Jeremiah, who felt he was too young when he was called to start prophesying. But it's God who raises them, and they'll be like Moses, we're told. Now, Moses was an ordinary man. Certainly not someone gifted in speaking, if you remember back to Exodus 4, but a man chosen by God who acted as mediator between God and the people, speaking God's words to the people and taking their concerns to God. A man who sought to live a life of obedience, a life that mirrored the commands which God gave him to speak. The prophet, we're told, will be an Israelite, one of God's chosen people, someone who's been raised with knowledge of God and God's law. And finally, God will put his words in the prophet's mouth, and the prophet will speak everything God has commanded him. It'll be God's message. Again, unlike the other nations, there'll be no manipulating the message that comes. It will be God's word through God's prophet to God's people. And that message would often be unpopular. Think again of Moses, who had to declare to the people as they grumbled against God, "In this desert your bodies will fall. Not one of you will enter into the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home." Or Ezekiel, who was commanded to say to Israel's leaders after generations of disobedience, "I will drive you out of this city and hand you over to foreigners and inflict punishment on you." The prophet would speak God's message to the people, and they were to listen to it. They were to listen to the prophet or face punishment. Listen or face punishment. We see this clearly in verse 19. God will call to account anyone who does not listen to the prophet. Punishment awaits those who don't listen and don't obey. As we've seen, the prophet will speak God's message to the people, and it's the message that God wants them to hear, the message that they need to hear. And the people are to listen to the prophet. If they don't, they're rebelling against God. And God himself will hold them to account. And we see this in the build-up to the exile, don't we, where king after king did evil in God's eyes and didn't listen to the message of warning and repentance that came through the prophets. Take King Jehoiakim, for example, who were told in Jeremiah 36, "Cut up the scroll of Jeremiah's prophecies piece by piece and threw them into the fire in defiance of God." And this was God's response: "I will bring upon them and those who live in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I have pronounced against them because they have not listened." God will call to account anyone who does not listen to the prophet. Now Moses passed away, and the people entered into the promised land, and they did exactly what God had forbidden them to do. They listened to the wrong voice. They got caught up in idolatry and the detestable practices of those who'd lived in the land before them, and they did not listen to the prophets who God raised. Prophet after prophet came, speaking God's message to turn from their wickedness and obey him. But the people and their rulers didn't listen. They were taken into exile by the Assyrians and Babylonians. And even in this darkest hour, God spoke to them through prophets, promising restoration and a Messiah and a new covenant. But when they returned from exile, they fell back into the same old ways of listening to the wrong voice. And for 400 years were oppressed by different nations. And for 400 years, there was no prophet, no word from God. And so it's understandable that when John the Baptist came, preaching a message of repentance, the people asked him in John 1, "Are you the prophet?" Now, John wasn't the prophet, but the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day were so well-versed in the law, they knew Deuteronomy 18 and knew God had promised to speak to his people through prophets. And they were waiting, they were longing for the ultimate prophet to come, one who would break this long silence and bring a message of hope from God, a message of restoration and the end of their oppression. And then came Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed as heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Jesus came preaching a message of repentance and faith, a message of the coming of the kingdom of God, and a message of eternal life through himself. His message was so bold, so extraordinary, so revolutionary that even his closest followers struggled to comprehend and accept it. He turned what was commonly accepted on its head, and he spoke with astonishing authority. Take the Sermon on the Mount, for example, where time after time he reapplies the law and raises the bar, saying, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." And the people were astonished, Matthew 7 tells us, because of the authority with which he spoke. So how could he speak in such a way? Well, because he, like the prophets before him, and as Deuteronomy 18 foretold, he was raised by God, chosen by God, and sent into this world by him. Remember the transfiguration where Jesus stood in his heavenly glory, and the voice of God came saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." He was chosen by God to come into the world. Jesus himself confirms many times he was sent by God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son." Or John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." And yet Jesus is unique among the prophets. For not only was he chosen and sent by God, but he himself is God, the second person of the Trinity, who became flesh and walked among us, to speak his unique message to all, so that some might listen and be saved. And just as it was foretold in Deuteronomy 18, he spoke the words of God. John 14, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And John 15, "Everything I learnt from the Father I have made known to you." Jesus spoke God's message, the words God had given him and the words God had commanded him to speak, just as the prophets of old. And yet his message was so much more, wasn't it? It was the ultimate message, the final word, to turn from the wrong voices, to turn from sinful, detestable ways and believe in him, Jesus. To have faith in him and through doing so to have life in his name and the hope of eternal fellowship with God. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he said. "No one comes to the Father but by me." And elsewhere, "If anyone listens to me, he will obey my teaching." Sorry, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What an extraordinary promise. If we obey Jesus' teaching, God will come to us and make his home with us. But for those who don't listen to Jesus' message, punishment awaits. Hebrews 2 says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels is binding, and every violation and disobedient received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" The message brought by the messengers of old, whether it be angels or prophets, was binding, and God held to account those who didn't listen. And this, of course, applies to Jesus' message also. Jesus himself teaches more about judgment and hell than any other person in all of Scripture. Take Matthew 13, for example, the parable of the weeds, where Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Those who don't listen to Jesus, those who don't obey him and put their faith in him, face eternal separation from God, the worst possible punishment. There's a price to pay for listening to the wrong voice. So I want to ask you today, what voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the right voice, Or like the Israelites, are you being swept up by voices apart from God? Are you listening to the voice that tells you to love your enemies and pray for them? To love others as yourself? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul? The voice that tells you not to worry about tomorrow, but seek first God's kingdom? The voice that tells you to resist the devil, to take up your cross daily, and to go and make disciples? The voice that tells you not to look lustfully at someone you're not married to, not to love money, and not to let the sun go down on your anger? Do you get tempted to think a little compromise is okay, just a little bending of the rules, and not take seriously the gravity of Jesus' illustration to cut off the hand that causes you to sin? We fall away from God's voice so easily and are so easily blinded to the fact that we listen to the wrong voice. We're so saturated by the world's voice that sometimes it's hard to distinguish between right and wrong. Which leads me to my next question. How well do you know Jesus' teaching? How well do you know the whole Word of God? If we know that Jesus was sent by God to speak God's words to us, if we know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and that all of it points to Jesus and all of it is fulfilled in Him, how much do we prioritize getting to know it deeply? If we believe that Jesus' message is still relevant to us today, that God's word still speaks to us today through his Spirit, that it's a source of encouragement and nourishment and rebuke, a compass that points us back to Jesus when the voice of the world crowds in, how much time do we spend reading it and memorizing it and meditating on it? Do we utilize it when we're tempted to listen to the wrong voice? Do we use God's word, as Ephesians 6 says, as a sword in the spiritual battle in which we live? Do we cling to God's word as if it were the light to our path, a source of hope and life? And if we know that all who don't listen to Jesus face eternal punishment, how seriously do we take getting to know God's word, obeying God's word, and sharing with those who haven't heard? When was the last time you shared the gospel message with someone who doesn't know? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus personally, I'd strongly encourage you to speak with someone here about how to get to know him. Spend time reading about his life and teaching. Listen to him and put your trust in him. And if you do know Jesus, make sure you're listening to him. This Christmas time, get to know his voice afresh and run from every other voice that competes for your attention. As we celebrate his birth, let's remember Jesus is the ultimate prophet who speaks God's words to us today. He is our source of life and hope. So listen to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came and lived and taught and died so that we might know you, so that we might have life and hope. Father, we pray that you would work in us this morning to change us where we need to be changed and to grow us in the likeness of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.